2 Timothy chapter 1, to stand with me for the reading from God's Word. We're going to begin our reading with verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelt in us. Of course, our key verse coming from the latter part of verse 6, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. He promises us to give us that we may have a sound mind. Heavenly Father, we come to you, God, and Lord, we all go through struggles and pains and sufferings, Lord, that can bring about emotional distresses, Lord, and anxieties and depression, Lord. But we know that you are our eternal God, and you have power over these things of the flesh, Lord. And, oh God, you're able to help us, God, to get on focus, Lord, and to see what you can do, dear God, in our lives, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would help us, God, that we would be overcomers against things of depression and anxiety, Lord, and discouragement, God, that you would help us to be overcomers, Lord. As we go through these biblical steps this morning, we pray, God, that you would guide us and direct us in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. The person writes, after 7 years of fruitless treatment, I was finally freed from bipolar depression by prayer and biblical counseling. Electroconvulsive therapy was the last resort. I had tried everything else, hospitalization, meds, and therapy, in vain attempts to control my bipolar depression. 4 days after 14 shock treatments, I again attempted suicide. It was then that my husband took me from Michigan to Texas to spend 1 week, 8 hours a day, with a biblical counselor I had heard about on the internet. I learned who I truly am in Christ and gave each trauma and pain of the past to my Lord and Savior. I was then lovingly led to receive spiritual, mental, and emotional healing through the work of God in Christ, with each prayer my husband said, I would glow more as Jesus took his rightful place. Today I am free, not only of my depression, but free to give God the glory to the whole world. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there is a testimony to share with you this morning that here's someone that suffered from bipolar, a condition that medical science has determined and called such a thing. Now we must remind ourselves that psychological disorders are just the frame that modern science and doctors and stuff, they fit it into. If you have these symptoms, you have this disorder, you have this particular problem. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what the problems are, God is able to reach out and help us. And I believe that it's not God's will that we would continue to suffer in a place of discouragement or a place of despair, and that we can overcome depression through God Almighty. You see, we can go out and we could be walking down the street and we could fall and break our leg. Now, we fell and we broke our leg. Why? We fell and we broke our leg because we tripped on something. We ran into something. Maybe there was an obstacle in the way. Maybe we tripped over something on the sidewalk. There are many things that could have caused us to have that broken leg, right? It was an injury as a result of things that were going on around us. I mean, you don't just walk down the street and have nothing happen. All of a sudden, your leg breaks. Do you? No, you don't. Now, through the course of time and the way things can go in life, if I was out and I was bit by a tick and it was reported that I had Lyme disease. Well, the Lyme disease didn't just manifest in my body on its own, did it? It came as a result of a bite from a tick. You know, there are many things in our lives that come about and happen because of something else. Depression is one of those. Depression doesn't just fall on us. It's usually circumstances, situations, things have built up, things have come down on us, things have gone wrong. Maybe we've made a lot of mistakes. There's different reasons that could send us into a state of depression or discouragement or have us to cause to go through severe anxiety attacks. Whatever the case might be, there's usually some circumstances that help attribute to them. Now, if I want to keep from breaking my leg when I'm walking, then I'm probably going to have to avoid some of the pitfalls. I'm going to have to not try to do certain things. You know, each of us in our lives are responsible for where we walk. There are some things that come our way that we can't help. One day I was driving down Interstate 81, and I'm clipping along in my truck, and my truck wasn't that old. It was pretty well new back then. I'm thinking it was probably somewhere around 1999, probably 99, 2000, somewhere in there. And as I'm cruising along, just kind of doing my own thing, about that time, boom! A deer had jumped out in front of me, smashed in the front of what was a nice truck at one time. Now, it's got some damage to the front of it now. That's not from the deer. That was from one of my terrible mistakes. But in this cause, I didn't have anything to do with it, but my vehicle was damaged. There was nothing I could do. And the deer even got away, so I didn't even get to have the meat that came from this thing. It got away. It got up and ran off. And I went looking through the woods. I couldn't find it anyway. But the truck was damaged as a result of the deer jumping out in front of me. Now, I did what I could to avoid it. I mean, I hit the brakes. I mean, but it happened so quick, all my efforts were futile. I didn't try to swerve into the next lane because I didn't know what was coming, and I could have caused a greater accident. Oh, that God would help us to recognize that, you know, there are some things that come in our lives that we can't control. But there are many things that come in our lives that we can control. We're responsible for those things that we can control. I may have shared this before, but I'll share it again. I was going through a tremendous battle. I mean, I was a new Christian. I was only saved probably a couple weeks. And I got hit with such a bout of attack. I came to church. I was so discouraged. I seen the one brother at the door, and I just started to tell him everything had been going wrong. And it was very obvious. I was discouraged to the point of distress and who knows what else. And he looks at me and he says, "You're discouraged, aren't you?" Yeah, that's pretty obvious, you know. Everything that has been going through. And I couldn't seem to get victory over it. I mean, I was just all torn up inside. I was wound up. I was caught up in it. And I couldn't think of nothing else. My mind was racing about all these things. And it was spiritual warfare. It was persecution that I was going through. But I left to get to the place where it was bringing me down. And it was doing harm to me. And he looks at me and he says, "Well, you're going to have to repent." What do you mean I'm going to have to repent? He said, "Well, you're allowing your discouragement to reach a place where you're not trusting God anymore. And it's becoming sin." Now, I'm not saying all discouragement is sin. But the problem that happens is when we get discouraged about something, when we go through something, we become despondent, we become overly worked up about it, that it starts to tear us down. Friends, we need to repent. Because that's why the devil has designed those things to be attacked at us. To afflict us with those things, they try to get us to do what? To stop trusting in God. To turn our face from God. Oh, that God would help us. And he promises that we may have a sound mind. There in that verse, a sound mind, the word in the Greek is sophronismos. Sophronismos. And it means an admonishing or calling to soundness of mind. So he was calling us there in those scriptures, calling us to a soundness of mind, letting us know that God is able to do that. He says, "Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." Now we can adapt this. "For God has not given us a spirit of depression. God has not given us a spirit of anxiety. God has not given us a spirit of distress." Oh, that God would help us. No. He said to stir up the gift that is within you. He talks about the fact that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, the Christian warfare is not so much that we're out on a battleground with our weapons drawn and we're fighting for our physical lives. But the battle goes on right here. Because if the enemy can come and can destroy our soundness of mind, it won't be too long until we can't stand against the wiles of the enemy and the temptations that come our ways. And one of the greatest temptations is to quit trusting God for the future. There was a friend of mine, and his wife had gone through a torment and was just sick. She was getting physically ill. She was everything was backing up on her, and they're trying to find out what's going on. And as they began to seek spiritually and pray that God would help, what was happening to her physical frame was a result of what was happening inside of her mind and heart. She became so worried about the future, became so concerned about the future that she could no longer serve God in the present. Because her distrust of what was going to happen in days to come became a sin of unbelief. And it began to sever her. And she couldn't figure out what she was going. And see, that's where the enemy comes. If he can get our mind distracted, get our mind disturbed, it sure is hard to concentrate on God and have faith in God. Now, I realize that there are our frames, our bodies, there's chemicals flowing through our bodies. And I understand that there can be chemical imbalances in the mind which can set things off. But a lot of that is brought on as a result of situations and in the way we handled it to get through it. I'm not saying that there isn't any individuals that have some form of a clinical medical problem that there's got to be medication used for. I'm not saying that. I would never advise anyone to abandon, you know, what perhaps someone has encouraged them to do in the medical field. But I believe that our first place of refuge is God. Our first place of refuge is God in these. God has promised us a sound mind, a clear understanding, sound judgments, a rectified will, and holy passions. Oh, that God would help us to get grounded with Him. Now, if you look at your biblical steps for overcoming depression sheet that you have there, we talked last time about studying God's Word. It's important that we're in God's Word. If you drift from God's Word, you're not staying in God's Word, then we shouldn't frown, we shouldn't get upset if we're hitting stages of depression, discouragement, and everything else, because we've turned away from the counsel of God's Word. We've shut that out in our lives. It has to be in the forefront of our lives, God's Word. And I'm not going to review all those verses that we went through before. Number two, acknowledge and deal with sin. I think one of the prominent ways of the enemy to really get us to a place where we're discouraged or depressed is when sin has come back in our lives and torment has set in. My daughter's not here, so I'll talk a little more openly about this. But in my own life, before I came to know God, I was going through a lot of things. Now, many of you heard my testimony about some of the things that I went through with the mafia. In the situations I was up against, people practicing witchcraft, and I was one of their targets in places. They were trying to get me involved in that stuff, and I stood against it. And I went through a lot of different things in my life. And I got to the place in my life where I was not a Christian, and I didn't know where to turn. But I was a drug user at the time, and everything seemed to be going wrong. And what I wanted, I couldn't have. And when I had what I wanted, then I wasn't happy with that either. And I got to this place where I really needed some help. My life had been threatened. I was going through a lot of different traumas in my life, just different things.
What was the big problem here? What was causing me to have emotional distress? I went to see a counselor, and while I was at the counselor, the counselor soon put me, recommended I take certain medications, and I started taking some medications. And the first one just, it messed me up worse than I was before. And I got off that one, they gave me another one. And I was dealing with a lot of anxiety, a lot of racing thoughts, and where my mind just couldn't slow down for a second to even get a bearing on life. And this is just going on and on and on and on. To explain some of the things that I had gone through, if you could imagine being in a situation like this where the mafia has already threatened your life. I go to see a counselor, and while I'm at the counselor, I'm explaining some of the things I went through without giving any names of anybody. I show up for one of my sessions, and he mentions the name of one of the people that was on my case. Was asking. Now you understand, I work in the healthcare system, and I'm going to a healthcare professional, and they have their ends everywhere. And I tell you what, I sat there in that seat, I was petrified. When he mentioned the name of one of the people that was part of my problem. And I think it was a slip on his part. I don't think he really meant to. But I had always talked in general terms, never mentioned names. And all of a sudden, he mentioned the person's name. I got real fearful. Now I'm really afraid to go back to my counselor. And you want to talk about a paranoid state of life. I mean, I had some real deep-rooted issues. But what was the cause of all this? I look back at causes. It was sin. There was sin in my life. God had me under conviction. I was very much convicted. I was convicted of my guilt for the sins that I had committed, and I'm in the middle of this hot seat where my life's been threatened, and now I find out that even the counselor knows the name of the person, one of the people that's involved in all of that. I was even more fearful. I remember sitting in, one of the last times I was there, I remember sitting there, and in order to keep any sanity at all in the midst of all of this, as I sat there and was trying to talk to him, I just kept envisioning the face of Christ. I kept thinking about Jesus. I just started to, I mean, I'm sitting there talking to this guy, and the whole time in the background, I'm just praying, oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, Lord Jesus, just help me. I mean, my life was really spiraling down, and I tell you, it was a torment to go through. It wasn't too long. I got myself off the medications. I didn't want anything to do with that. And it was miserable for a while, and as I began to seek God, began to call out to God, and it would take me probably about a year from that time frame till I would find God. In fact, if I remember, I think it was in January, and I got saved that following November. After I got saved, something happened. Those anxiety attacks that I was having, there was a new control over them. You know, I still had some for a couple months. It was about a month or two after I had been saved that I still was afflicted with it. But you know what? Now there was a cure. Before, there was no end to it. I mean, the best hope I had is I could fall asleep. But then the tragic thing about dealing with a problem like that by falling asleep is you wake up. You wake up the next day and it starts all over again. But I found out something new. I found out that when I came to know God, that there was a power in prayer. There was a place in prayer that I could go. And sometimes I could pray for 30 seconds and boom, it was gone. Completely gone. Anxiety attack was over. There was nothing there, no depression, nothing. And the next time I might have to spend a half an hour on my knees. But I want to tell you something. I beat that through God Almighty. Through God Almighty coming down and helping me and prevailing in prayer and overcoming it. And since I've been a Christian, I've never had to be on any medications ever again. God has reached out and helped us. I stayed close to Him in prayer. It was prayer. It was prayer that overcame. It was getting before God and finding a victory through God. If we're going to take biblical steps to overcome depression, discouragement, anxiety, we're going to have to deal with all known sin in our lives. Because if there's sin in our lives, it brings conviction, it brings guilt. I think if you would look at situations for somebody that perhaps has not been abused or has not going through something traumatizing, if they're in a point of depression, you will find that they're in sin. Now, we know that circumstances of life can help get somebody there. But if it's oftentimes self-inflicted because of sin. Because of sin. So we need to acknowledge and deal with sin in our lives if we're going to keep victory over depression, discouragement, anxiety. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 2 and verse 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity,
and in whose spirit there is no guile, in whose spirit there's no corruption, and in whose spirit there's no going the ways of sin. Psalm 38, verses 17 through 18. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me, for I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. Praise God. And I do apologize for the misprint there. Point number three, prayers, jumped up a line on us there. I don't know, maybe it's not on your sheet that way, but it's on mine. We need to deal with sin in our lives. If there's sin in our lives, friends, we're going to be uncomfortable. And there will be many out there that are trying to solve the sin problem and trying to ease the guilt by taking some kind of medication to get through it. Friends, that's not the answer. We have to deal with our sins. We have to come before God, allow Him to forgive us. For some, it might be restitution. They get saved, they're minding God, and all of a sudden they fall into a pit of discouragement and depression and come to find out that they've been carrying a burden for years that God's been showing, I need you to take care of this. You need to make this right. You need to make this right. You need to make this right. And the next thing you know, it's gone years and years and years, and all of a sudden they fall into a pit of torment because God says enough is enough. And He turns up the heat so hot about the restitution that they can't bear, and they won't give into it. And what's the end result of not giving in to a restitution you know God wants you to make? The end result is eternal death. If God is showing you, I'm not saying you have to make restitution for every little thing you've ever done wrong in your life. We'd never get finished. But there are things that God will put His finger on. He'll say that you will make that right. You know, John Wesley said that if we won't make our restitutions, that God will extract it out of us in another way. And it'll be far worse than if we just dealt with it ourselves. That's an interesting thought. We must acknowledge and deal with sin. Number three, prayer. James 5:13 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. We could just stop right there. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let him seek God. Let him call out to God until God has come and met the need. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. We need to pray. We need to seek God when we're afflicted, when we're going through something. When the burdens come and press down upon us, we need to pray. When somebody's done us wrong and we're struggling with unforgiveness, we're struggling with the thought coming back, oh, look what they've done, look what they've done. And I tell you what, you can wrestle through some things. Brother Noel Scott had gone through a terrible tragedy. Those that are grandparents here could reflect upon this. Those that are parents can understand what I'm talking about. Their 4-year-old grandchild was given the wrong medication in hospital and died as a result of it. He said, it took me a year to get victory over the waves of unforgiveness that would strike me. And Brother Scott's a godly man. And you know, some things that we go through in this world are not easily forgiven. But unforgiveness left in the heart becomes bitterness. It becomes sin before God. If we won't forgive our fellow man, God's not going to forgive us. And if you're carrying a burden, if there's somebody that you're struggling with not being able to forgive, sometimes it's somebody that's no longer even on earth. But we're not willing to forgive. That unforgiveness will rest and set, and it's like a rotten core on the inside. I bought some nectarines the one time, and boy, they looked beautiful. They looked nice until I took a bite out and found out they were rotting from the middle out. I don't know how that happens. But there's some people out there that are rotting on the inside. They're rotting on the inside. It doesn't show up on the outside right away. But they got this rot going on the inside. This unforgiveness is just brewing and growing because they won't forgive. We need to take it to God in prayer. We need to come to a place where we've come low before God. Some of the things I've been through have been a real struggle. I remember, it was Brother Noel Scott was preaching it in Camp Meeting 2000. The things I was going through, the battles that I was facing with my wife and everything else going on in my life. And I thought everything was clear in the area of unforgiveness. But you know, unforgiveness is a hidden sin down on the inside. And it rears its ugly head. And sometimes you're not even aware that it's all there. And so there's deception involved with it. And I remember driving home from camp and what Brother Scott had mentioned. And he shared about that. And I ended up pulling off to the side of the road. And I just sat there and I wept. And I cried. And I cried out to God. And I confessed my unforgiveness towards those that had hurt me and persecuted me. And and I just sought the Lord, and God came in a special way and brought a healing touch. If unforgiveness is left go, it will destroy us. It will bring us to a point of depression, discouragement. We must have a forgiving heart. The only way we can defeat it is in prayer. Is to come before God and just tell Him, Lord, I'm trying to get through this. I want to be able to forgive them. Can't seem to let go. You know, we can forgive, but there can still be hurt. We can still be hurt. Oh, that God would help us to have a forgiving heart. That through the place of prayer, we can have victory. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Now, there's a whole message. I think I've preached it here before. But you know, there's a place of prayer. We can get down, oh Lord, you know, da 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 da, rattle through a list of things. And then there's a place where you're praying in the Spirit. Those of you that have had those experiences of getting alone with God and God coming in a special way, you know exactly what I'm talking about, praying in the Spirit. When God's presence is so real in the midst of your prayer time, you even sense the help and the leading of God's Spirit leading you in a place of prayer. I believe that's the kind of prayer it's going to take to get victory over things like depression and discouragement. You're going to have to get to the place where you've humbled yourself before God, you've dealt with all your sin, and then you're seeking God and praying in the Spirit till He comes and rains down righteousness through your whole being. Cleansing away. Praise the Lord. Where's the time go? When you bring your sheets back this evening, we'll continue on as the Lord leads, unless He gives me something else this afternoon for you. We'll pick up here with point number 4. And I encourage you that there is victory over. I once heard a nurse speak in a youth service at New Columbia God's Missionary Church. And she had been in medicine, I guess, for some years. And she said, Christians, when they're where they need to be, won't struggle with depression and anxiety. Now, I know there can be some physical things, and there are some exceptions to that. I can't say I agree with everything. And maybe she even gave some disclosures there. But, you know, it spoke to my heart early on. And I recognized that the majority of depression, anxiety, and distress and discouragement that comes upon us is something that we can deal with in God's hands. It's something that we can have victory over. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to know that there's a cure. I'm glad to know that there's victory. Wow, I mean, can you imagine if we could get out to the world and we can share all those that are depressed and discouraged and boy, it'd put medical science out of business. If they'd all find God and get everything cleared up with the Lord, there'd be very few that would actually need their medicines. But they can just walk with God. God's able to bring victory over all the things around us. I praise Him for that this morning. Would you stand with me in a closing word of prayer? Lord Jesus, we praise You. And we worship You, Lord. I can never preach anything like this, Lord, unless I believed it with all my heart. Father, I know that it's real. I know that You're able to bring the victory, Lord, over our infirmities, the infirmities of an unsound mind, God, of the distress, the depression, the discouragement, Lord, the unforgiveness, God. You are the answer, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that You would take Your balm, Lord, and You would heal any hearts that need this. Oh, God, that Your Spirit would move upon us, Lord, that You would help us, Lord. Lead us for this evening's service, God. Help us to have our hearts prepared, Lord. Father, we'll praise You for what You do in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen.